Hey guys, it's Lauren Yates here, celebrity interviewer, entertainment reporter, and the host of this podcast, Rave It Up, celebrity news, reviews, and interviews. If this is the first time you're listening, go check out our show's trailer on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to learn more about us. And make sure to follow us on social media to tell us what else you would like to hear from this podcast. We are under Rave It Up TV on Instagram, Rave It Up Show on Facebook, and our website is raveituptv.com. Now today, we're continuing on with our Heartland theme of interviews by interviewing Canadian actor Sean Johnston, who plays Jack Bartlett, or Grandpa Jack, in the TV show Heartland. We have a chat about how he got into acting originally, how it feels to play a much older character in Heartland, and we'll also hear about his music and whether there is a music career for him on the horizon. There is so much to cover, so let's get into it now.
3, 2, 1.
Let's do this. Raise it up.
Hey guys, it's RJ May from Breaking Bad.
It's Adam Savani from Step Up.
It's Keegan Allen from Pretty Little Liars.
Hi, this is Arthur Butcher.
It's Cosentino.
It's Rob Mills.
It's Todd McKenney with Lauren Yates on Rave It Up.
Raving It Up.
I'm having fun.
Hashtag Lauren, Rave It Up.
Sorry.
Thank you, I like that effect.
We're raving it up.
Sean, welcome to Rave It Up. It is a pleasure to finally have you on the show. How are you going today?
No, I'm doing swell for sure. Rave It Up. I have never listened to your show or seen your show. But you know what? I feel kind of honored. I feel a little bit privileged, I guess, to be invited on. So,
well, you will probably listen to the show now, because I don't know.
I will for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if you already found out, but you know, your co-stars Amber and Graham, Jessica, Michelle, they've all been in the show now, and I've just booked an interview for next week with Kerry as well. So it's great to just have the Heartland family on.
Yeah, excellent. That's beautiful. That.
So I was like, I need to have Sean on as well. Grandpa Jack, we need him on.
Well, I always say this. Jack's role in the show is you can't let the inmates run the asylum. You can't have everybody else on your show and not the gatekeeper.
Oh, yeah, I feel like Grandpa Jack is Heartland, you know?
It
really is. Like, you have the best dialogue, and everybody just loves you. I really nearly had a heart attack, like, season 6, episode 18, when Grandpa Jack had a heart attack, and then the next episode, they make us think you're dead. I was like, don't do that to us.
You know what? Regarding that particular moment, the producers and our head writer, they brought me into this meeting. It was like I was, you know, I had to go see the principal at school or something, you know, and this was like, uh-oh, something's going wrong. I've done something wrong. I'm going to be punished for something. And they brought me in and they said, okay, this is, you know, mid-season. And they said, we're developing story for episode 18 and we just want to inform you that this is where we're going. Jack is going to have a heart attack. And I just went, I know the stroke of a pen is, you know, easy to build and destruct and build and destruct. But they said, no, don't overreact. We're not writing you out of the show. And I just, like, the whole weight of the world came right off me. And when they said that initially, I was thinking, oh my gosh, they don't like what I'm doing. This is crazy, man. But anyways,
they just needed a little bump in the road in the show just to keep it interesting.
Yeah, they wanted to, you know, get people all worked up and things like that. And
oh, you definitely got us worked up, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. I got worked up, believe me.
Yeah. Well, I definitely want to talk about Heartland a little bit more later on as well, but since this is your first time on the show, we'd love to get to know you a little bit better and actually start from, you know, early on in your career to get a good idea of how you made it to where you are today, if that's okay. Yeah. So when I was doing my research on you, you studied acting at the University of Alberta, but how did you find your love for acting originally? Was it something that your parents did, or you just, you know, had a passion that you found?
Oh boy, that's a good question. When I met my beautiful wife, Sue, whom, you know, it's my only wife, and we've been married for 30 some odd years by now. When I met her, I was in pre-law.
Wow, that's different.
Yeah, I was going to be a lawyer. And we dated, we fell in love, and everything was cool. And I asked her to marry me, and she said, yes, of course. And when her parents found out about the marriage or the engagement, they thought, awesome, our daughter is marrying a lawyer. And so I'm going to school, and I've got law classes up to my yin yang, and I get this registered letter from the dean of the law faculty. And the letter says, due to unforeseen circumstances, you're a credit short. You should not be in this program. Yeah, so I had to, I was on academic probation. They gave me the first semester to pick up the extra credit that I needed in order to make my Bachelor of Arts degree legitimate in order to meet the requisite to get into the next phase. So I go to the registrar's office and I say, okay, I show them the letter and I say, I need this one credit. I'm deficient one credit in fine art. And I said, I need to pick up this course. Please give me something that has the least amount of homework because I have law courses coming right up my Zoom. And they said, oh, take drama. They don't do anything in there. There's no homework there. That's like, it's like a walk. I said, okay, I'm in. So I go to my first drama class and it changed my life. I dropped out of the law program at the end of the semester. I dropped out of the law program and auditioned for theater school the following spring. And now I'm sitting here talking to you about a career that could have been something else.
So different. It's like it was just meant to happen. It happened for a reason.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was.
And you just fell in love with drama. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, I know. Like, who'd have thunk it? Like, who knew, right? And I was completely, on the first day, on the very first day of my very first drama class, I was just blown away. I had no idea that the human condition had that capability, that energy, that degree of imagination. And, you know, thank goodness I had an instructor that a lot of people wish they had as well, right? But a mentor for me today, that particular instructor is at the very top of my list for inspirations and motivations. And, you know, I look to him all the time for guidance, even today, even though he's getting a little gray now, he's still in my life. That particular instructor is still in my life as
That's
a professional.
Beautiful. And I'm sure Sue's parents then weren't happy that their son-in-law was actor.
Well, you know what? There's another story. They thought, what, are you out of your mind, man? Are you going to be out of your mind? But then I got my first professional television gig, and they thought, our daughter's married to an actor. He's on TV.
It always switches around, doesn't it?
I know. You know, I had all these conversations with Sue's parents and her parents' friends, who are all kind of white-collar-ish type people and executive types. And they're asking me all the time, well, what are you going to do? And I'm going, well, I'm working on this play. And they said, yeah, I know, but what are you going to do? They said, well, I'm an actor. They said, I know you're an actor, but what are you going to do? And you know what? All of a sudden, I ended up on TV in their living room on their televisions, and they're going, oh, okay, that's what he's going to do. And he's doing it. So
funny that people, like, especially in the beginning, they don't think it's a career. So it's like, oh, yeah, it's a hobby. It's a phase. You'll do something else. Yeah. Yeah. You proved them wrong.
if I'm telling the truth, I didn't realize until it happened almost, I didn't realize that a career as an actor was possible. I knew that there were actors in the world, but I had absolutely no idea what made them tick or how the business went or if it was legitimate or if it was just winning the lottery or, you know, I had all these crazy impressions of what being an actor or being in a movie was like. We all go to movies, even as young people, we go to movies and we see actors and we love the characters and, you know, we take what we can from that. But until it actually happened, I had no idea that it was going to be a way of life.
That's incredible. See, the universe had other plans for you. Thank goodness you didn't go into law.
I know. I think I'd be to be honest with you, I'd be a pretty good criminal lawyer because I could act my way through, a court case probably. But to be honest with you, I'm pretty satisfied with how things worked out. I don't think I'm really a white-collar guy.
Probably wouldn't have had the same love for it.
No, for sure.
Did you know we filmed this interview? Well, come on over to our YouTube channel, Rave It Up TV. You can subscribe for free. And here's a little secret. We like to reward our active subscribers with autographed photos and merchandise, no matter where you are in the world. So don't forget to give us a thumbs up while you're there and get busy sharing the videos with your friends.
And it's good that you did that play as well that you mentioned, because wasn't it there that backstage a film director came and approached you and, creating your own opportunities?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because I had that conversation, just sort of a reminiscent conversation with my wife just only a day or two ago. You know, I graduated from theater school. I did not go to film school. I had no idea that film and television was what it was. I went to theater school. I am classically trained. So the whole program that I learned was all about theater. It was about being on stage and being in front of an audience and a live audience every moment, every night, every moment. So when I graduated from theater school, I went into the professional theater. That was my first gig, right? And you know what my first gig was? My first professional gig, I played Linus in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And it's on stage. And for the first two or three years of my professional career, I was a theater actor. And I've got a pretty hefty list of plays that I've done. I've been on stage a lot. And it just sort of worked out that, you know, the right people came to the right play and saw me and talked to me about future projects, and it involved film and television. And all of a sudden I made the switch from the theater into film and television. And you know what? I still do plays. I did a play a couple years ago, probably. I do one play every couple or three years just to keep me in love with the craft and to keep me in love with the theater, I mean. So when I was in theater school, I had a very close bond. I became very dear friends with one of my classmates in theater school. And his name was John Hudson. And we talked this fantastical talk, this kind of fantasy, dreamy kind of talk for the last couple of years of our program, that when we get out of this place, we should start a theater company. And we did. we started, I'm a co-founder of a theater in Edmonton called Shadow Theater. And John is still, to this day, and that's like a long time back, John to this day is still the artistic director of Shadow Theater. And it has one of the strongest subscription bases in the Edmonton theater community, Edmonton, Alberta, that is. And you know what? That's a legacy that I'm really proud of. So I'm a theater guy. I'm a theater guy that went from there into film and television and made fairly, I've got to say, touch wood, I made a fairly smooth transition from the theater into film and television. And, you know, a lot of stars were lining up. I was a big, mean-looking, kind of tall, skinny dude that, you know, storytelling needed big, tall, skinny dudes that were mean. And, you know, for the first several years of my career, I kind of made a living beating people and kind of killing people. I was a bad guy for the first several years of my career. And then it's just because the storytelling at that time required a lot of those kinds of characters on stage and on screen. And so anyways, I'm rambling.
Oh, well, it definitely shows, like, you know, with the theater, it just totally changed the course of your career after that. Who knows? If you're still in theater, you might not even be in Heartland right now. That's a sad thing to think about.
I know.
And it even, like, shows, because, you know, this show is very positive and really motivating our listeners to go follow their dreams, you know? You might as well live life to the fullest and love what you do. And,
yeah,
you know, it really shows all of that hard work involved from even just graduating from, you know, theater school and then how long it takes to even get your big gig.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, Sue and I, my wife, this is not something that is blind to us. We talk about how grateful we are all the time that I've had the career that I've had. And it's provided us with some nice things, I guess, but a secure thing. I've got a couple of boys now. My boys are 30 and 28 years old. And we've been able to help them along in their lives too. Not that I wouldn't have been able to do that if I was an electrician or a plumber or a lawyer, you know, I'd have been able to do that too, maybe. But the beautiful thing is that the path that I took, being an actor, creative arts, all that kind of stuff, pretty iffy territory sometimes, you know. It worked out really well. It worked out to a point where I was able to raise my family on a career choice that I love. It's what I wake up in the morning looking forward to doing, you know.
And it couldn't be a better role model as well for your kids so that they go and follow their dreams as well.
When my kids were young, I said to myself and Sue, I said, if I'm not successful by my standards of success, if I'm not successful by the time my boys understand what their dad does, I'm out. You know, if I'm still struggling when they understand what I do, I have to get out. But by the grace of whatever you believe in, it seemed that my definition of success as an actor was met by the time those kids were old enough to realize. And here I am, we've continued on, and it's not that there haven't been ups and downs. And no, man, I'm a satisfied human being. I'm a happy human.
That's good. And you're grateful for what you have, which is great.
Yeah,
and is
totally
it true,
right,
too, that one of your sons even played in 2017, like a young Jack Bartlett as well? So he's tipped his toe in TV, yeah, as well.
Yeah. Well, I know that was crazy because he had never, he'd never been on screen before. He'd never attempted the craft of acting before. He was 28, which was a little bit of a stretch in terms of how the character was written. They wanted the character to, like, on paper, the young Jack character was probably in his early 20s, you know, 21, 23. But the thing is that, first of all, he looks a great deal like me. And to be honest with you, I asked him. I was approached by the producers and the writers, and they told me before the season started, they told me that they were going to have this story coming up in that season about the young Jack, and they needed to cast a young Jack. And they asked me. I did not say anything. They asked me if my son would be interested in trying out for the role. And I was up front. I said, well, he's got no experience. He's not an actor. But I know that he's got it in his bones for sure. I mean, he does come from Sue and I, and I suspected that he probably had he's pretty artistic on the other side, but he's just never been an actor guy, right? So anyways, I asked him. I said, I'll talk to him about it. So I went to my son. I asked him if he would be interested in the opportunity, and he just went, yeah. And, you know, we worked together on it quite a bit. I gave him sort of master class workshop kind of ideas to tune him into the craft a little bit more than he knew at the time. And he auditioned for it. And apparently the word I get from the people above me is that he nailed it, and he was just like right there. So anyways, yes, long story short is my son played young me in an episode of Heartland, and I couldn't be a more proud kind of dad. Father's Day actually is coming up in a couple weeks. I wonder if he's going to say anything about how much he loves his dad.
We'll see. Let me know.
This show is brought to you by Vegas Nights, specializing in all of your party needs. They have photo booths, poker tables, and decorations for heaps of different party themes. Visit their website now at vegasnights.com.au or give them a call on 1-300-135-394. Vegas Nights, you can't lose.
Now, we know probably a lot of Heartland fans are listening today, so we better, like, talk a little bit more about Heartland. In particular, like, I want to get back to the beginning of your journey with the show. How did you originally come across Heartland? Did you automatically connect with the character of Jack?
I did, with the character of Jack, for sure. It's interesting. You know, I got a call from my agent. That's how things work, is your agent line up the auditions and all that kind of stuff, and you show up on time and do your thing and hope that you get the job, right? So I got this audition, but it was initially, it was for the role of Tim.
Really? I can't see you as Tim now.
I thought I was a pretty good Tim when I went in for the audition. I thought, nah, I'm going to be a good Tim. So anyways, my first audition for Heartland was for the role of Tim Fleming, and that's when I met the director of the pilot and the producers of Heartland and all that kind of stuff. I went in there and, you know, I did a pretty good audition, I thought, and but I connected with these people in a way. You know, it was kind of special. It was kind of stars lining up time because, you know, as an actor, you go in and you say your hellos and you do your thing and you say your goodbyes and thank you for seeing me and all this kind of stuff. And you're polite and you're classy and you do your thing and get out. This particular audition, it's just seemed to be a little bit more connected to, like, people connected, not necessarily acting or story or character connection, but connection between me, myself, and the power people that were in the room. And I thought it was a lovely experience. I had such a fine afternoon. And so I go home. Next day, my agent calls me and says, and I'm thinking, okay, he doesn't call if there's no action, he doesn't call, you know? And so I'm thinking, okay, this is good. He calls me. He says, so They want to see you again. I said, that's great. Callbacks. Callbacks in an actor's world is a good sign. And they said, but they don't want to see you for Tim. And I'm disappointed because Tim is a regular character in the show. And I'm thinking, why don't they want to see me? I'm going to be a day player. They want to see me for, you know, the cop that stands on the corner. And, you know, and I'm going, okay. And he says, no, they want to see you for a role called Jack. And I said, are you out of your mind? Or I'm actually saying this to my agent. I said, are you out of your mind? Have you read this story? That's the grandfather. And at the time, I was like 45 or 7 years old, right? And they said, no, they're serious about it. And they proved it by calling me in to read for the role of Jack. But they had professional hair and makeup people there to help me age a little bit, so I could make a good screen test, and so the broadcaster would buy it and all that kind of stuff. They were so committed to the idea of me trying out for Jack that, you know, I went, oh my gosh, these people are honest. These people are steadfast in their goals. They want what they want, and they're giving me a legitimate crack at this. And you know what? I got to say, just reading the role on paper, I love the idea of being Jack. And I did a pretty good job, I guess, because I got the role. I don't think they made a mistake, to be honest with you. I feel really super connected to that character. And My father, he's passed away a long time ago now, but and his father, my granddad, and my dad really are the two human beings that have walked on this earth that make Jack what you see on television. And that's pretty cool for me.
Yeah, and it's another blessing for you too, because Grandpa Jack, you know, is a more of a regular character than Tim.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Sure.
So, since you know you were in your 40s when you got this role, did it feel a bit weird at the beginning to be playing someone that you're well, Jack is like a great grandfather now, so that must is it an easier role by playing an older guy? Or
well, you know what, it was interesting because I worked on my voice, and my voice naturally has a little bit higher timbre, I think, than Jack in the show. I think Jack in the show is a little bit more, you know, kind of rooted and grounded in his voice, right? So I worked on that. I wanted to make sure that anything that was on screen was not too young for the character. I worked on my physical presentation. I looked into the background of the character, and he was an old broken-down rodeo pro. So I thought it would be a good idea maybe to give him just a little bit of a giddy up in his walk, you know, just a little bit of a boom on one side, little bit, not too much, but enough to, look like there's a life lived in that body. And all those things, they kind of, you know, when you combined it with, you know, the hair job that they did and the makeup and things like that, for the first 3 years, I didn't have my own mustache. Yeah, they did a prosthetic mustache for the first 3 years. And that's only because of scheduling and other commitments and late dates of notification and things like that. It just didn't work out that I never had enough time to grow my own mustache, even though I knew that if I grow a mustache, it's going to be bombing. Going to be a Jack stash for sure, which is what this is. But nonetheless, combine the hair and the makeup and all that kind of stuff with a little bit of voice work, a little bit of body acting, all of a sudden we created a character called Jack Bartlett. And you know what, he's an important part of my career for sure, and I think he's an important part of the lives of the other characters in the show. And I couldn't be I couldn't be more proud, or I couldn't be more satisfied that I'm actually the guy. I mean, it's a pretty coveted idea to be on television for as long as we've been. And it's kind of like the Holy Grail, and I'm sipping from it, so that's cool.
And I think you've even changed the lives of the people watching as well. Like, we could not imagine Heartland without Jack, so thank God he's still in the show.
yeah, right on.
And did you already know how to ride horses before you got on the show? Or, oh, that's helpful then.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm a farm kid. Growing up, I'm a farm kid. And, you know, we farmed a little bit of hay and grain on occasions, and but we always had, you know, 30 or 50 head of cattle. We always had 3 or 5 horses around so we could run the cattle. I call myself half a cowboy, because if I called myself a cowboy, I think it would be kind of insulting to the bona fide cowboys and like the professional wranglers that work in this world. So I call myself half a cowboy, but I ride pretty good. Yeah.
So it's all natural on screen. Didn't have to do much training.
Yeah. Well, here's one thing for sure is Jack never falls off his horse. Jack is the only character in Heartland that doesn't fall off his horse. I went to the writers one time and I said, why are all these characters falling off their horses all the time? What kind of message are you sending? They said, don't worry about it. You don't fall off. I said, okay.
Probably because if it happened, because he's supposed to be a grandpa, we'll all be like, oh, is he okay? Or he's just that good. He just, you know, holds on for dear life.
Did you know Rave It Up now has a private Facebook group where we give away regular prizes and you get to have a sneak peek at what we're up to? You'll get to see some fun behind the scenes action and can be part of the interview process yourself, just like a real journalist. So come join us and share your passion for entertainment with all of our other fans. Just search Rave It Up Community on Facebook and we look forward to getting to know.
And as you already know, you know, I've had your co-stars, Amber, Graham, Michelle and Jessica on the show recently.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I wanted to bring up a couple of things that they said about you. First of all, Graham, so Ty Borden for our listeners, he says that you're really the one who helps create like that family vibe amongst everyone, you know, even off set, you know, jamming with your guitar and singing along between scenes. Do you do that on purpose at all for that exact reason? Or
you know, when I met those kids back on the pilot episode, and we're going back a lot of years, Lauren, we're going way back, man. They were just kids, you know. Amber, for example, you know, the courage that she had to travel across a vast country like Canada and set up shop in a place that is thousands of miles away from her home on her own, you know, that's a lot of courage. And, you know, I've admired her courage and tenacity ever since the day I met her, really. And Graham was this young actor that kind of just coming out of university, and he went to film school, right? He's this film school kid and gets this great role. And Michelle, for example, was a recent graduate as well from, I think she went to University of Toronto was where Michelle was. And we had Jessica Amley, who played Mallory back in the early days, right? And we had all these young kids, and none of them had a great deal of experience in this business. And I don't know, I guess it was just my instinct probably that made me feel like the old oak tree that stands over the yard and protects the children when they play. And, you know, so I kind of took that role on, and I gave them a few tips here and there when we were on set. But when we were off set, I was making sure that, you know, they were going to be classy human beings and they're not going to get in trouble when we're off the set. And, you know, because we're all living our lives privately when we're away from work. And I just sort of kept a tab on them, make sure that they were okay on the weekends and that they weren't getting in trouble at night. And You know, they were kind of my children at the time, adopted children while I was away working, because, of course, we all traveled to work. And we bonded in a sort of a paternal way, you know, and I felt like a bit of a kinship as a father figure, I guess. But I don't want them to hear this and think that I was, you know, coddling them, because they were young adults that had their poop in a group, for sure, you know. But I took them under my wing a little bit, I guess, is all.
Well, they really appreciate it. Like, they speak so highly of you whenever I talk to them. I'm like, aw, it's so cute.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you won't be launching a music career anytime soon. I did hear that you have that new audio series out now, which is which I saw on your Instagram, and all about the behind the scenes look of the music that you've written for Heartland.
Yeah.
But no music on the horizon for you, because you're so good at it.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not really a. I mean, I'm a musician because I play. But I've said to friends of mine that are bona fide professional musicians, I said, I'm not really a player. And they say, no, you're a player because you play. Okay, I'll take that. But you know what? I'm no show-stopping guy, that's for sure. I play for the love of it, and I play for me, and I play with my friends.
That's what music should always be about. Do it because you love to do it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, there's a lot of sort of best kept secret musicians on wherever you go. You know lots of musicians, I'm sure, that can just rip it up at the right time, but they're not cutting records. They're not artists that are on the charts. They're not winning Grammys, but they're great musicians. Everybody in this world knows somebody that is a terrific musician. And I'm not one of those, probably. I'm a player. I write the odd song. I've written a couple of songs that have been actually in the Heartland show, but you know what I'm saying. I just keep
bringing it to the show. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
That small effort.
Yeah.
So everyone can head on over to seanjohnston.ca to check out that audio series if they want to check it out. But now, Michelle Lou Fleming, she said you're a perfectionist with your scenes. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been clinically diagnosed as OCD, but I'm pretty picky about lots of stuff. When it comes to being on set and working in a scene with other actors, you gotta bring your stuff. You gotta bring it, because I'm bringing it. I'm working hard. I stay up late at night to make sure I have my poop in a group. And if you don't, I'm not gonna like it.
Well, I gotta say, Jack has the best dialogue, so I can understand why you don't want to screw that up either, and you want to make it perfect. He says some really amazing gems every single episode.
If you want breakfast in bed, sleep in the kitchen. There's a Jack. There's a Jackism for you right there.
Well, if anybody hasn't checked out Heartland yet, they have to. It is an incredible show. As you can probably tell from my research, I have watched every single episode. And it's really funny because my mom and I watch it together. And then when we're like really getting into it, like a few season in or whatever, and then we were telling my nan one day, because she lives in a different state of Australia, and we're just like, yeah, you should check out this show Heartland. And she's like, oh, Heartland, I watched that too. And we're like, what a small world. There you go. It's one of those shows that, you know, all the generations can watch it, and it, you know, it's suitable for everybody. That's one reason I love it.
Yeah, for sure. When I met the executive producer of Heartland for the first time, he questioned me about, you know, the script and things like that. And I made the comment to him that I thought it was good family fare. And he scolded me. And we weren't even working together at the time. I hadn't even gotten the job yet. And he scolded me that it's not family viewing. It's multi-generational.
Oh, see, he knew it before he even made it. It's so true, though. And I'm so glad that it has gone on as long as it has, and, you know, becoming the longest running 1 hour TV drama in Canadian history. Like, congrats, guys.
It's making Canadian television history, to be honest with you. It's lightning in a bottle. If we wanted to go with an old saying, we've really captured something special in a time that it was needed, I guess. You know, there aren't any high heels and low cut blouses and, you know, the nasty people packing guns, and there's no explosions and car chases. It's just a world of, it's Sunday night at 7, and at least it is here in Canada. And that's a really coveted time slot in broadcast television in Canada. It's that family hour. It's Sunday evening. You know, people have done their Sundays. It's a day of rest. It's a day of family. And Sunday night at 7, you get Heartland to just sort of cap things off before the kids go to bed. And
thanks to platforms like Netflix and stuff, it's going all around the world now. Otherwise, yeah, you wouldn't even be on the show. So
the binging aspect of Heartland viewing around the world is just off the charts, you know. And we're all thankful for that, of course. We want to entertain people with an idea that they want to come back to and talk about and share with their friends and share with their family and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. It's I like the word swell. I like saying that's really swell, man.
Well, I think you've already like gave heaps of advice throughout this interview today, and I'm like so grateful, and I'm sure a lot of people have gotten a lot out of it. But would you just have, you know, as finishing up today, like, you know, I guess a Jack Bartlett gem of what advice you would give to our listeners who want to follow their dreams of becoming an actor?
Yeah, I've got a lot of ideas about once you're into the craft, but if you're thinking about being an actor or dreaming about being an actor, I think the most important part of that is learn how to learn. You've got to learn how to learn. It's not a lesson unless it's learned, and you can't learn anything unless you know how it feels to gain knowledge and to gain an experience. If you learn how to learn, you will open your entire horizon. You will be so much more observant, and you will drink in the world that you live in. You'll become a mimic of the human condition. And that's what acting is all about. It's the human condition. It's a portrayal of the human condition, which is an extremely complex thing. But if you open up yourself and drink in the world and let nothing go by without at least taking note of it, you'll fill up your filing cabinet with experience and memories and recollections and knowledge, and that's going to drive you into your next endeavor. I don't know.
Great metaphor. I love that. The filing cabinet. Well, I hope everyone takes that advice on board, but we are unfortunately getting to the end of the interview. Time has gone so quickly.
That's a drag. We didn't talk about my excursion in Australia about some years ago. I went to Australia before I met my wife, and that's a cool place, man.
It is. Are you thinking of coming back anytime soon? After all the restrictions are lifted, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. I just... of all the places that I've been in the world, and, you know, I'm not really a world traveler, but of all the places that I have been in the world, Brisbane and North is the money for me. It's just unbelievable up there.
You like a little bit more of the heat than down here in Sydney.
Yeah.
Well, if you come to Sydney, because that's where I am, let me know.
Yeah, right on. Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate your time, Sean.
It's been a pleasure. It's like I I don't know how to express the gratitude and, you know, the privilege that it feels to me to meet you and be on your show all the way over there, all the way across the world.
Thank you. Well, you're welcome on the show anytime. So in the future, you want to chat about anything? Because I know we could talk for hours, couldn't we? Time just flew.
No, good. Yeah.
But you're welcome on any time. So keep in contact with me and we'll get you back on.
Yeah, lovely.
Thank you for listening. If you want to be the first to get every new episode, remember to subscribe to this podcast for free. Just search for Rave It Up on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and share it with your friends and tell us what you loved the most and even let us know what you want to hear on this podcast. You can even check out the videos of our interviews on our YouTube channel, Rave It Up TV. And for more, visit our website, raveituptv.com. Now, before I leave you today, I just want you to remember that you are loved and you are beautiful. Bye!